To achieve a goal, sacrifice is necessary. If you want to be a good father, a good mother, the life is no longer your own. You knew this, or ought to have known that, ever since the new life was placed in your arms. That you knew life would never be the same. That you would no longer enjoy sleep, let alone sleeping in. That you knew that your interests would be secondary or tertiary or just non-existent. You knew that you couldn't live as you did before. You know, maybe you had an interest in playing games, video games, and that's not something that you should be doing because you need to make time for your children who need you, who at every moment rely on you. And your influence speaks volumes, whether you know it or not. So sacrifice is there. You start a business. You have to find people who will support you. You have to find those individuals that have talents to give you what you need to start your business, hopefully to make it thrive. You need perhaps a loan from the bank. And you know that there's a high probability that all of this could come crashing down and you would be left in unbelievable debt. It's a sacrifice. But the goal would never be attained without sacrifice. God told Abram to leave his homeland, to leave his country, to pack up his things and go to a foreign land that he would show him. And he said, if you do this, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. All of this was conveyed to Abram when he was at the young old age of 75. So we kind of think, okay, 75. Man's probably in his retirement. You know, he's probably set in his ways. He's no spring chicken. But here, because Abram would have undoubtedly had a relationship with God at that point, heeded the call to adventure of faith. And so because of his faith in God, he embarked on something in which he had not done before. Didn't have a map, GPS, but just simply traveled on faith with our Lord. And as he did so, you know, he didn't just reach his destination and all of a sudden things were great. You know, he just started to have descendants, he started to have nations, people just started giving him things. But that'd be too easy. No, his life was filled with a lot of adventures. For example, there was one period in his time after the age of 75 where there were kings that were warring against each other. And this one group of kings who were victorious in conquering the land and taking the spoils of war also took in the people that were there. And one of the individuals happened to be Abram's nephew, Lot. So what did Abram do? He had 318 trained men. And he said, let's go and lay siege on those kings who dared to take what was theirs and dared to take my nephew. And he won. He was able to distribute back the spoils to where they were once taken. Not bad for someone who was over the age of 75. And then he encountered some bit of drama. Not really sure about how the descendant line was supposed to happen. He thought, it was Sarah's thought, Sarai at the time, before her name changed. Sarai was the wife of Abram. Sarai said, well, take my maid, Hagar, you know. Maybe this is how it's supposed to happen. Maybe this is how you will start your descendants and build a great nation. Well, that wasn't it, and that was a mess. So then the Lord spoke to Abram again. I mean, he's been talking with him the whole time through, but now at the age of 99, he emphasizes again the covenant that he was to establish with Abraham. But not only that, he did something that was drastically different than all the other times that he spoke to him. At the age of 99, God told Abram, well, you know, you are no longer going to be called Abram. I will call you Abraham. Abram meant exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude. So here you can see that God is preparing him even more so that this is going to happen. Your faith will be rewarded. At the age of 100, Sarah bore him a son, Isaac. A whole century. A whole century it took before the first descendant of Abraham would come into the world. And while undoubtedly the promise was fulfilled 25 years in waiting, it was really a whole century, because when God had spoken to Abram at the age of 75, Abram acted with such expediency at this large request that there's no doubt in my mind that Abram would have already enjoyed that relationship with God. Abram would have already built that trust, that faith that the Lord was looking for. This teaches us that things will unfold as the Lord has said. But as I would surmise most of us know, it's in his time. For Abraham, 25 years. And so at times in which we find ourselves struggling and waiting, you know, we pray for that grace, not only of patience, but also that of trust and surrender. You know, patience is only a part of it. Patience will only get us so far. You know, it's when we realize that this patience that we have is rooted in someone, in some promise, in something that was made to us, that it becomes that much more meaningful. We're given that much more of a drive, a desire to remain, because we know who's behind it. We know it's God the Father who is making this promise to us, God who is leading us to think that whatever it is that he said to us will come true. So it's not just patience, it's trust, it's love, it's realizing who God is, who I am, and knowing that he will never forget his promises. And so at times when we find ourselves filled with doubt, think of Abraham. Think of Abraham. Another thing at this juncture that his life teaches us is that when we think that we have it all figured out, when we think that, oh, okay, this is why these things happen, these things transpired, or why there seems to be a, in my eyes, delay in the fulfillment of that promise, why it didn't come sooner. When we think we have that understanding, sometimes God humbles us even further. And in this case, we hear Abraham is being thrown a curveball, which leads us to today's first reading. From his life, we know that Abraham was no stranger to sacrifices. To be called to sacrifice yourself for the sake of others, that's a huge thing. I think of those who find themselves in war, and oftentimes put their lives on the line. Or even those men and women who serve in law enforcement, and how much they put their lives on the line. You know, it's no easy task, especially when those around them may not acknowledge their sacrifice, may not acknowledge their efforts, but they do so anyway because they know what's at stake. They do so because it's not about the reward, but they are convicted about what they are about. That calls a lot from us. But it's another thing entirely altogether, though, to sacrifice someone that you love. And that's That must have hit Abraham to the very core of his being. You know, God really didn't make it any easier, right? He knew, he understood this, and he pressed in on that very deeply so that Abraham understood all the implications that was tied around it. You know, the reading today, you know, God says, take your son, Isaac, your only son, and make of him a sacrifice. Your only son, right? And Abraham knew that. Abraham was already aware of that. You know, my goodness, the man was 100 years old, right? And been waiting for a long time. But he wanted to be sure that Abraham understood what this was all about. Abraham was to understand what the sacrifice was. If we were faced with that question, not the question that God had asked, but the question that involves sacrificing either ourselves or our children, who would we choose? Ourselves. There'd be no question. You know, there's no way that we'd be able to live with ourselves if we did something so heinous, something so atrocious as to put our children before us. You know, we will go first. We will take the bullet. And so how was this going to play out? How was this going to happen, that God was going to fulfill his promise? After waiting a century, finally having an heir, now called to sacrifice him. This wasn't something, too, that came out of left field. Abraham, who was now dwelling in the land of Canaan, was familiar with the practice of the Canaanites, who partook in human sacrifice. And maybe Abraham was thinking, okay, you know, this makes sense. I see why that you called me out here to the land of Canaan. This is where you dwell, perhaps, and this is the thing that needs to be done. You know, these people are offering human sacrifices. I guess I have to do the same. But you know, on all these things, we hear that Abraham still had faith. Abraham still had trust in God. Yet this perceived kind of barbarism of God undoubtedly turns people off. You know, we think, you know, we hear so often, God is merciful, God is merciful, God is good, God is loving. Well, how can a good God demand this of Abraham? How can a good God ask this, even consider this, and give voice to that thought to Abraham, who's already endured so much, who has sacrificed himself all these years? The answer is in the context, not only of Abraham's story, but of salvation history. At this juncture, God reveals the demands of faith to Abraham, to us. The pursuit of God means the abandonment of everything else. And when I mean everything else, I mean everything else. Oftentimes when we are thinking about our relationship with God, if we think about it at all, we only give some of who we are, some of what I have, or perhaps most. You know, as we're advancing in the spiritual life, as we're walking in tandem with the Holy Spirit and what we need to do, you know, perhaps more and more things are being given to the Lord, but eventually it should come to the point where our ultimate goal is that union with God. And in order for us to have union with God, guess what? You know, there can't be anything else that's tying us down. There can't be anything else in which we find ourselves attached to. There can't be anything else in which we find ourselves saying, okay, this is my God, Lesu Chi. This is the thing that I follow. This is the thing that is mine. But it's more about saying, okay, God, if this is where you call me to do, then it calls that radical transformation in our lives where it says, God, you are my everything. And that's not possible. That's not possible for us to say with seriousness, with truthfulness, with honesty, with full drive, unless we abandon everything. Unless there's nothing in which has not been given over to God. True sacrifice is necessary. And we know that's far from an easy thing. In his love for us, I think that's why he has given us so many things to encourage us, to be reminded of his love. You know, like we have the apparitions of Our Lady, right? Our Blessed Mother, you know, appearing all over the world. You know, all the times in which she is advocating us, you know, all the times in which she is reminding us of the good things that we need to pursue, of her Son Jesus, of not to lose hope, not to lose faith. And we have the presence of Eucharistic miracles and other miracles that are happening, you know, where people are experiencing healings, people are encountering power through the name of Jesus, and are witness to that, and have felt that, have seen that. To know that God is alive. God is alive not only in time in which He walked on earth, but even now, in our day and age, even through the midst of what we have in our advancements in modern technology and science. And God is still alive. God is still doing things. God is with us. God is here. And all these things are meant to encourage us, to let us know that that which we strive for, that which is our ultimate goal, or should be our ultimate goal, for it is the most perfect goal there is one can have on this earth, that God is listening, and He is aware, and He is with us. If we live the faith as we ought, it means recognizing the truth that all I have is His, so that He may do that which He sees fit to do, as is just, by the one who desires my eternal salvation. Now, the Lord's messenger who stayed the hand of Abraham was not acting like an independent agent. It wasn't as if he said, God's looking the other way, run to the hills. The Lord's messenger was acting on behalf of the Lord. So you might think, okay, well, you know, is God changing his mind? What's going on here? You see, this was a purposeful test to ultimately see if within man there would be someone who held the depth of belief and faith that was necessary to be willing to do what God the Father would eventually do for his people. It's like God's asking, do you love as I love? Are you willing to go as far as I? This test was unique and only for a specific purpose. While God would not allow Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he would not spare himself of that torment in permitting the death of his son Jesus for our sake. This is something God needed to do. It sounds like a strong word, especially considering the fact that God is omnipotent, knows all things. Why would he need to do something? The fact remains that, you know, back in the Garden of Paradise, yeah, things were beautiful, things were great. God gave them everything. And then, with one temptation from the devil, they abandoned it. They, in a sense, threw it all back in the face of God and said, no, we want to choose our own way. We want to choose our own path. In the very depth of that action, saying, we don't trust you. We don't believe in you. And so God was looking to Abraham. And after him living for such a long time, you know, he's asking, you know, well, do you believe in me? I mean, do you really believe in me? And so on, and having him undergo that, it was that test to see if indeed God would find in him the man he was looking for to perpetuate this salvation history in which God has desired for all of humanity. And you know, the sacrifice that Abraham was called to make, you know, this Not much is said about the age of Isaac, is there? I forgot who it was precisely who had said this, but someone had made the speculation. I have nothing to back that up. But someone had made the speculation that perhaps Isaac was about 30 years old. Maybe even around the age of Jesus. And you got to think that, you know, with everything that transpired in order for the sacrifice to take place, you know, if Abraham took a child, that wouldn't go so well, would it? You know, the child would have immediately revolted, ran away, not understanding what's going on. But you know, when Isaac was tasked to carry all the wood that would be brought to the sacrifice, it was quite a lot. So it requires someone who was rather strong, who was rather sure of his strength, and also someone who had faith. Because upon getting there, we hear that Isaac had simply submitted himself to what it was that the Lord was asking Abraham to do. Because you find later on, you know, it's not as if Isaac had left Abraham. You know, Isaac still maintained a good relationship with Abraham, with his father. It's because Isaac had seen with Abraham what faith looks like. He would have seen with Abraham what it meant to be a follower of God, a disciple of God. And so, having that instilled in him, he would have carried that wood willingly to offer himself as a sacrifice. But like I said, God spared the hand of Abraham, because God saw that in Abraham there was that faith, there was that trust, and Abraham was blessed. To live the life God has beautifully mapped out for us, it requires sacrifice. That's what faith requires. So we have to ask ourselves, what aren't we willing to sacrifice for God? You know, perhaps what's one thing in my life now that I find myself just holding on to? God, you don't have access to this. God, I don't want to bring this anywhere in my life of prayer. God, this is just my personal sphere, my personal thing in which I think is owed to me. And why do we hesitate? What are we afraid to confront? What are we afraid to hear? What would we think that would mean if whatever it is that we're holding on to is given over to God? What is our fear? Faith requires sacrifice, but so do many other things. Yet the things God calls us to do, that underlies our faith in Him. All of that will lead us to the ultimate goal of heaven.